Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. The virtual assistance industry and the online business management industry, they're actually both one and the same thing, is an explosive growth industry, and it's not for the faint-hearted. But if you possess a genuinely entrepreneurial soul and a fire in your belly to succeed in a business that you envision, you craft, you create, and you build it, then we're here to help. I've done it very successfully, and my guest has also done it successfully. And I'm starting a new series where I get to talk with people who are in my industry, and I'm really looking forward to it. So today is the first of that particular series. And today I welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, Nikiwa Smith. Am I pronouncing your name properly? I meant to ask you that.
Yes, Denise, you're pronouncing it properly, Nikiwa. That's
so good. We talk all the time, we chat all the time, and it just never occurred to me, see, how do you pronounce your name? And how silly is that? I mean, we get along beautifully on Facebook and conversations. I'm like, oh, you know, so, I am so sorry.
Anyway, okay. I get it all the time, actually.
I do the same thing with my last name. My last name is spelled Griffiths. You know, it's got two F's. Two T's, no H, no N, and it is a constant fight for people to pronounce or spell my name, so I do apologize. But anyway, you are a virtual assistant. You started your own business in 2008, and you began your business by working initially with freelance websites such as Guru.com, Odesk, Freelancer.com, you know, the usual. And at the same time, you realized that you really wanted to be your own boss and not simply a contractor for other companies. And for those of you who have tried that route, I do advise it for a lot of reasons. Number one is I think you will find, you know, as she did, that it is not really the way you want to go. If you are a true entrepreneur, you want to have your own business. So, but do it. Absolutely do it. There's a lot to be learned along the way. So, Nikiwa, did I say that again? Yeah, Nikiwa. I have a brain fart today. I really do. So anyway, she wanted to create a business and a life that she could run from her own home, which quite frankly is what most of us find so attractive about the virtual assistance industry. And she's got a great story, and I'm so happy that she's here to share it with you today. We had a terrific conversation a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? And we must have chatted for 2 hours, and we covered a lot of territory. Frankly, I wish we had recorded that conversation because it was brilliant. So we're going to, for our audience's sake today, we're going to try to recreate that conversation as much as we can. And we're just going to cover a lot of the same territory because we really did. We went from startup to finish to everything in between and had a great time doing it. So good morning, and thank you so, so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you, Denise. I'm so happy, and I feel privileged to be here.
Oh, no, 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 no. I mean, I love to talk with people in my own industry. And, you know, like I just said, we didn't record it. And honestly, we should have. So we're gonna try it again. But you've got a great story. And would you go ahead and share with our audience a little bit about how you began your entrepreneurial journey, how you made the transition from contractor at, you know, some of these big sites to your own business owner? And what inspired you to do that? I mean, I know what your inspiration was, but I'd love for you to share it with our audience.
Okay, well, I can actually say that I believe that I was birthed with an entrepreneurial spirit. When I was in third grade on career day, my mother said, "Why don't you go as an entrepreneur?" And I'm like, what is an entrepreneur? I think I must have mispronounced it, you know. What is that? And she said, well, that's someone that owns their own business. And I said, okay. And she said, that's what you want to be when you grow up, Nikki, where you want to be your own business owner. And that started this whole journey. But to fast forward, the time purposes, after spending about 12 years in corporate America working on location at various places, I started to have a family, me and my husband. We have four small children. And so after they got into school and things of the like, I went on a journey to find something that I could do from home so that I can be stationed at home in case my children ever need me. And
your children always need you. And that's one of the things that I think is so very attractive to many young mothers. You should raise your own children, I think. If you have the opportunity to be at home and you've got the guts to start your own business at home, what are you waiting for? I mean, I don't know. I have a pretty strong sense that a lot of women come into our industry because of that exactly. They genuinely want to have their own business, be an entrepreneur, but raise their own children. Those are some great reasons to do what we do.
Yes, that's right. That's right, Denise, and that's what got me ultimately started down this path. And I started, and as you can probably hear my three-year-old in the background, this is the baby.
I can.
At home with he's at home asking for a honey sandwich. I don't know. He's But that's what got me started on this path, and I started, you know, filling around online and found some freelance sites where I could use my skills that I had acquired in the corporate world online virtually, and that's how I ran across Odesk and Freelancer and Guru, et cetera. But I truthfully grew frustrated with the limits of those sites.
And they are very limiting.
They are.
And you don't get trained either. I mean, the problem with those sites, and they do serve a purpose, but there's really no training. They just kind of toss. If they accept your bid, then it is up to you. It is incumbent upon you to figure out how to do what it is that they want. And you can't bill for that. I mean, you can't bill for your own training. So, you know, there are some built-in, you know, hurdles, if you will, with going that route.
Oh, yes. There's definitely some hurdles with going that route. I believe there's pros and cons. Like you said, it's something, you know, to start with, but the negative is that it doesn't help you increase your training, per se. And then you're limited. You're contracting for someone else, and you're just limited it in regards to your business growth. And
the other thing, Nikiwa, is that on those particular sites, Elance in particular, is that you are competing with people who do not live in this country. I mean, they live in India and Malaysia and Singapore, and bless their hearts. I mean, I have no quarrel with any of them. They are trying to make a living like the rest of us. But they are so, they will underbid you all day long and pick up those jobs. So it was your experience, I believe, that it was almost impossible to find jobs on any of those sites.
Oh, yes, it was. And thankfully, I was able to find a couple of jobs on there off and on, but not many, because I kept getting outbid by people that were charging way below minimum wage rates in America. And it just became so burdensome and just frustrating. And that ultimately led me to seek out other ways that I could grow my business. You know,
I say it's a good start. It's a good place to go. But here's the thing, and I'm sure you found this too. You spend so much time competing that you don't have the time to hone your skills, to even determine what your skills are. When you're so busy going, okay, well, let me go bid on this one and wait, that you're really, I find it an impediment to moving forward.
Yes, that's right. That's why I spent during those months that I was actually actively bidding on those sites, I spent so many hours bidding on jobs with very little return on time that I put in just bidding for a particular job, because I would keep getting outbid. And it was just so frustrating, and I knew it had to be something more or better that I could do with the skills that I had to make money from home, you know? And that's how I started my journey. Yes.
Well, and how it is kind of a transition to go from, you know, bidding on these websites to saying, you know, I can do better. I can do this on my own. So what was your journey there? I mean, how did you say, well, you know, I've got these skills. I think they're marketable. How do I ensure that they're marketable? What was your thought process during that time? Because it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a vacuum.
That's right. It does not happen overnight. And actually, I didn't start, well, after I stopped with that, I actually started breathing into various areas of internet marketing, you know, and work at home, mom websites and different things that claim to provide ways that you can work at home to make money, you know, and I've wasted hundreds, if not thousands of dollars of my money investing in certain things that I thought was the best fit for me to find out that they weren't. And I'm thankful for it because that showed me that that was not for me, and it ultimately led me to virtual assistants, which I found is for me. And so I actually had to go through a lot of pitfalls to actually get to the understanding that this is the industry for me, which is virtual assisting. And the mindset itself, it did not change overnight. It took a while. Like I said, again, it took for me to get into some things that were not for me, in particular certain programs that say that you could do this from home and this and that and this and that. And from there, I started seeking counsel from people that were online doing what I'm doing and researching various classes and forums. And I actually took some classes in addition to that about virtual assisting and different things like that. And that helped me build a foundation for the right mindset to transfer from being a contractor on those freelance websites to actually being a virtual assistant business owner.
Well, and Nikki, you just touched on something so important, and that is education. In our industry, you know, for those of you who don't know what it is that we do, I mean, virtual assistants industry covers a whole, there's gray areas, there's white areas, there's black areas. I mean, it is a huge growth industry, and honestly, education is just critical, and continuing education is critical. And what I'm seeing, and we talked about this when last we spoke, is that people will see, oh, virtual assistants, oh, cool, that looks like something I can do. And they jump right in, and they start spending money on really some stuff that is dishonest. It really is. But, you know, they don't know. They don't know what the industry is really supposed to be all about. And all of a sudden, they're realizing that they, honestly, the marketable skills that they thought they had are marketable in a brick-and-mortar business, but they're not marketable online unless you get that education and unless you understand social media marketing, unless you know what you're doing with somebody's website, unless you can help them launch products, unless you can really look at their business model and say, great, but you've got some gaps. Here's where we can help. And being a virtual assistant is not about, and I say this until I'm blue in the face, it is not about somebody sitting at the other end of the phone or the other end of their keyboard and waiting for somebody to send them some work. That is not a virtual assistant. If that's what you're doing, you're concierge. You're doing concierge type of stuff. A virtual assistant, quite literally, in my opinion, steps up and becomes a strategic partner with their clients. You're looking at their business model. You're looking at what they're doing, what you can take over. You're looking at where there's huge gaps. When I take on new clients, I'm not looking at what they've got. I'm looking at what they don't have. And then we, you know, make it all come together. Is that the way you identify the virtual assistants industry?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, what is your view of the industry?
Well, my view of the industry is similar to yours in retrospect of the fact that a lot of VAs are, and I'm not hoping to offend anyone that might be listening.
I know.
But I was there, and so I know, you know, what you're going through. You're slowful and undisciplined. And when I say that, I mean, like you said, Denise, you're waiting for a client to just fall in your lap or you're waiting for your business to grow, your business growth to just fall in your lap. It's not going to happen like that. Any and all businesses requires discipline. It requires you to actually find out what your ideal client or market needs and to actually be able to show them that you can provide a solution to their problems, you know. And the virtual assistant is the same way. That's my whole take on it. Show your client that you can provide them a solution to their problem. Not look at what they have, but look at what they don't have, and show them in the best way possible how you can fill that gap with what they're missing. And once they see that, the clients will come and your business will grow.
I agree. And then there's always the, you know, once you do start your own business, there are so many different things that you need to do, and you've gone through this. You need to set up your tax reporting. You need to have the proper equipment. I mean, you can basically start for not a whole heck of a lot of money. It's certainly cheaper than trying to open a brick-and-mortar business. But there are essentials. And what are some of the essentials that you kind of missed when you started out that you just didn't know you needed to have?
A business plan.
a business model at the very least.
Yes, a business model at the very least. I had none of that.
Yeah.
I was just flying, you know, pretty much blind in the virtual business world. I had nothing. I just dived into the online freelance site and started building my profiles and started bidding on jobs and competing. And I had none of that. But I quickly learned that without a good foundation, anything will fall, especially business, you know, and I had to set up a good, solid foundation for my business plan, a contract for my clients dealing with me, and a contract for the subcontractors that I subcontract work out to, business policies and procedures to give clients so that they'll know what to expect from me and I'll know what to expect from them and vice versa. You know, those are basic documents that every business should have, including virtual businesses. But I think sometimes when we're working online, we feel that, you know, being that we're not working face-to-face with our clients, that some of these things could be left out. But they need it more so, in my opinion.
Right.
Because
they
are
absolutely
online.
Right. And here's the thing. You're a business. You need to present yourself as a business. You can't just say, oh, great, thanks for the retainer or thanks for the payment. Now what do I do? I mean, you have to get out there and be proactive.
That's right. That's right. In fact, the most successful, I think, in any business, including virtual, are the ones who are proactive. They're go-getters. They're proactive and they're go-getters. They understand how to tackle the challenges that come before them in their business, and they know how to overcome them, and they know how to be proactive. You know, on the offense instead of on the defense.
And, you know, one thing that we all have in common, and I've said this from day one, I think since I was about 3 days old, I'm like you, I was born an entrepreneur. I don't play well with others, so putting me in an office is never a good idea. I run with scissors. So it's better for me to be in my own home office and be the boss. I mean, that's just the way it works out for me. But here's the, and I love what I do, but I don't know that I could do this in an office environment. It's just, you can't get, it's just a very different environment. But here's the thing. Entrepreneurs, for those of you who just wonder, are you really an entrepreneur? Here's the thing. We wake up every day, and it never, ever, ever occurs to you, to us, you, me, any of us, that failure is an option. We have cast iron stomachs. If something blows up in our face, we just go, We find a way around it. We find a way over it. We find a way under it. Or we just blow it up out of our way and start over fresh. It never occurs to us to wring our hands and go, oh, woe is me, now what? We just go, new challenge. Let me kick that one in the butt. That's how you know when you're an entrepreneur. But it's true. I mean, we just, it never occurs to us that we're going to start the day out and go, oh, man, well, that didn't work. We do it all day long. But then at the end of the day, we go to bed and go, aha, I overcame. So that's just how we operate.
Oh, yes, I've had my share of days like that.
Well, we all have days where, you know, honestly, I'd rather be in my garden today. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day. Here's the beauty of doing what I do. At some point, I'm going to be in my garden today because I work from my own home. So, you know, we have those opportunities. We get the work done, or we hand off what we just really can't or don't want to do to our team, and then we go work in the garden. Now, you do this after you've built your business, obviously, but still. So, Nick, I'm sorry, I'm coughing. Nikiwa, how long have you been doing this? Since 2008, right?
Yes, I've been working online or from home since 2008.
I'm sorry, I have a bit of a cough today. What are some of your biggest successes? What are some of the things that just make you wake up every day and go, I love this and I'm going to keep on doing it?
You know, truthfully, what keeps me motivated is when I'm faced with a challenge, right, something that is an obstacle, and I'm able to find a solution to it, it gives me so much confidence and so much motivation. And I say to myself, hey, I can actually do this. We're going to do this. And that just encourages me to keep going. In addition to, I just don't like, I worked on site for so many years, and I mean in various types of functions, and I don't like having bosses.
Well, yeah, you and me both.
I mean, you know, it's just, you know, the whole 9-to-5 thing, and you have to be back from your lunch break at this time, and it's just, I love the freedom of working from home, and that really motivates me. I love being able to go to my child's PTA meeting or go on a field trip with my daughter. I love being able to do that without having to ask for permission from my boss every time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I love
it. And listen, we agree. I mean, we have very similar personalities that way. I mean, I am so opposed to being told what to do that I get lost all of the time when I'm driving. I have a nav system. She has a gorgeous British voice, very pretty, very soothing. I like to listen to her. She tells me to take a left, and I instantly say, you're not the boss of me, and I get lost. So that tells you everything you need to know about my personality, doesn't it? But I do listen to her. I just don't take direction. So life is fun that way for me. I always leave 15 minutes early so I can get lost, get turned back around, and get to my destination on time. So that's just one of those traits that allows us to do what we do. But here's one misconception, and I know you found this, you know, when you started out. A lot of people new to the VA industry from either side of the aisle, whether they're looking to hire a virtual assistant or as we're transitioning now to online business management as a term, or if they are a VA or an online business manager in the making, it is not a job, and you're not hiring. If you're looking to partner with a VA, you're partnering with a VA. We are not employees. We are independent business owners, and we will contract with you. We will partner with you. We will consult with you, but we're not your employee. And I don't know about you, but I get tons of resumes regularly, and they're from people saying, well, I'm interested in a job. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we have trouble making the people understand the distinction. So what are your thoughts on that? You know, it's not. What do you think? I mean, I'd love to hear your opinion on that particular distinction, job, or, you know, what do you call it? I mean, what are you hearing from other people in the VA industry?
Well, I'm hearing the same thing. I've got quite a few resumes myself from people looking, you know, for a job. But, again, it's not an employee-employer type of relationship.
No.
We are business owners, as you stated before, online business managers, administrative consultants, and various other terms that describe what we do. But we are business owners. You know, we're responsible for our own taxes most of the time, you know, certain things like that, which the IRS definitely looks at you as a business owner or independent contractor.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you have to go with that mindset because, you know, the thing of the matter is, I think, Denise, because there's so many VAs out there struggling in the industry to make a name for themselves or mm-hmm. find clients or pretty much make a living. They're so hungry to try to find clients and build their business to where they've, I'm trying to explain this, they've regressed on their mindset of business mindset to employee
right.
mindset.
Right.
You know.
And that's such an important point, and I'm glad you made it. Yeah, I see this a lot, in particularly with new people coming into the industry. They think, oh, I can do that. And they can with discipline mm-hmm. and the proper mindset and the proper, you know, education, and it's ongoing. Listen, I am constantly learning. I learn something new every day because things on the Internet change every day. I mean, you know, I'm in the middle of learning Infusionsoft for my certification. You, just because you're making good money doesn't mean you stop learning. You have to stay on top of it, and you have to be on the cutting edge of your industry, really, if you want to succeed. But you're right, and I see a lot of new, you know, people. They'll be in, you know, boards on LinkedIn, or they'll be in, I'll give you 5 hours for free, and I just cringe.
Wow.
Say, please don't. I'm begging you, please don't do that. You are a professional. Present yourself as a professional. And professionals will find you. But when you start giving your stuff away, you've already set yourself up for failure, and I cannot stress that enough.
That's right. That's right. I agree with you, and I was told that in the beginning by someone else, I think, as well, to find clients, I should give away my services.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, as you can tell, I've went through a lot to get my VA business to where it is.
Well, and see, this is what I would love for you to chat about. I mean, some of the things that I don't even think about anymore because, well, to be honest, I never went through a lot of it. I'm a web developer and a VA as well, and I have two separate companies. So the virtual assistance part of it, literally, I started as add-on value for my web clientele, and it just never occurred to me that, you know, this was something difficult to do because I've always done this kind of work. So I was very lucky. I was in the right place at the right time. I had the knowledge base. I had the client base. So it was the perfect storm. So a lot of times I'll look at what people are struggling with, and I'm sorry, I don't have that in my history. So it's hard for me to realize that, you know, maybe they feel like they need to give away services. I am adamantly opposed to it. For so many reasons. Number one, you're setting yourself up in the client's eye as, you know, you don't value your services. Why should they? And that's mm-hmm. my big thing with it. But what I would love to hear from you is, if you don't mind recounting some of the experiences that you went through, you know, that's one of them. Can you think of other things that you see as commonly, you know, people commonly coming across in their search to, number one, find clients, retain clients, get their fees to where they need them to be? Like, what is it that you're seeing out there?
Okay, in addition to offering your services for free, which you don't do, that was a major boo-boo of mine. I've done so many hours of free work for people. And
they didn't appreciate it, did they?
No, they didn't, because
yep.
I'm getting more work from them. They took their free hours. And win,
yeah.
You know,
well,
and that's negative.
It's kind of like, this is how you can look at it. It's kind of like when you go in the grocery store and they're handing you that little piece of pretzel, you know, or that little piece of sausage on a stick or something on a toothpick, and you go, oh, cool, lunch. But you walk off. You didn't buy their sausage. You just ate their sausage.
Yeah, that's right. That's
yeah.
right. Why do I have to buy the cow if I'm going to get the milk for free?
There you go.
The old thing.
It's a matter of respect. You just don't. You get stuff for free. You go, oh, thanks, and off you go.
Oh, yes. Now, Anika, I am a firm believer that there's times when free stuff can be offered, like a free ebook, a free
absolutely
download, free MP3,
absolutely.
You know, something like that. But your services, hours mm-hmm. of work for free. No, I used to offer a referral program where if one of my clients referred another client, I would offer an hour of work for free based on four more hours. But I stopped that as well, Denise.
Mm-hmm.
I changed my referral program. because of that as well. So,
what happened that made you change it? I mean, what happened that made you go, this may not be a good idea?
Well, because of the way I had it set up was if a client referred another client to me, no strings barred, just by you referring that client, you get 1 hour of work free.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of the matter is I started having people refer people to me, but that actually did not end up contracting my services.
Mm-hmm.
And I was giving away 1 hour for free without any benefit of my own.
Right.
Because I wasn't giving it to them if the person they referred to me actually ended up signing up for my services. I would give the hour regardless. Even if you referred someone to me who decided, oh, I don't want your services,
mm-hmm.
they would give you a free hour on every 4 hours that you contracted with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
in other words, you did not have a profit-based model in place.
That's right. I did not have a profit-based model in place.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry for interrupting. Keep on going.
But I was so hungry to get clients, you know, by any means necessary. Literally by any means necessary. That I was willing to do that, to give away my services for free to my clients who would at least try to spread the word about my business. But I definitely changed that. That's one major thing, I think, that hinders a VA is giving their services away for free. Another thing,
Absolutely.
In my opinion, is not possessing a professional online presence. When I say that, I'm saying, for instance, when I started out, I did not have a website at all. I relied on my LinkedIn profile or my ODesk profile. And then I upgraded from that to a hosted web.com website, you know, where I did not have my own domain name. And all of that is good if that's where you're at and that's what you can afford or if that's just where
it's
you're at.
Start.
It's a start.
Right. Do we recommend it? No, but it is a start.
It is a start. Yes, but clients, I do believe, look at that. You know, if you're trying to build your business is your brand.
Mm-hmm.
And in building your business or your brand, you want to make sure that everywhere you're online or offline is synonymous and fluid with each other to where you have a professional domain where clients can go to your website, you know, and find out about what you can provide them in their business. If you don't have a professional domain, in my opinion, it looks a little unprofessional to the client. So that was a major no-no, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I upgraded from that. Thank the Lord. I found out it wasn't working.
Well, and here's the thing. To buy a domain name at GoDaddy will cost you under $10.
Yes.
And to get hosting for your website, you can go to HostGator. It will cost you about $70 a year. Here's my thing. If you can't afford $100 to get your own domain name and your own hosting, you really need to look at your business model because you're making some mistakes. If you really can't afford that, you may not be ready to go into business.
That's right. And if I knew some of the things that I know now, I would have waited before launching like I did with ODesk and just out there pretty much, you know, with no direction, no business model at all,
right.
Let alone a good one. I had none.
But here's the thing, and this is why this conversation with you is so important today. You don't know what you don't know. So for me, this is really great to find out, you know, where you can look back and go, oh, well, maybe that wasn't, you know, the best thing to do. But by sharing that information, you're helping somebody else.
Yes, that's what I would, you know, love to share as much information as I can to help someone else not have to go through the things I had to go through just to be able to get my VA business off the ground, let alone multi-VA firm. It just, it's unnecessary if you know and you're equipped with the tools and the information that you need. You won't have to go through some of these things.
Well, you can certainly, you know, streamline your process. I mean, that's for sure. Now, talk to me about how you find clients. Well, is there anything else that we missed there that, you know, you made some along the way? You just go, ooh, okay, that didn't work so well. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yes, I think there's one more thing. Client relations, so dealing with your clients, you know, whatever client you have come your way, if it's by referral or whatever, that's, I think, is one of the most important things because, believe it or not, my clients came from referrals or word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a good virtual assistant pretty much will open the door for you to build your business. You have to be good at what you do. You have to be skilled. And you have to take earlier. So I guess I would say number three would have to be a lack of training, actually. Because if you're not fully equipped and you're just out there doing stuff, it's gonna pretty much create a bad name for you. It's going to create a bad name for your business.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the industry, it'll create a bad name, especially if you're working with someone who's never had a VA and you're their first VA and you're not trained or skilled enough. You know, that's going to create a bad name to where they might not want to hire a VA again to work with them.
See it all the time. It's a very common and chronic complaint. And unfortunately, I mean, like I said at the top of the show, the VA industry is explosive growth. And unfortunately, a lot of what you just described is what is happening. People are either transitioning out of a job where they were, you know, administrative assistant in an office somewhere. I mean, you pick up some wicked skills in those offices. Do they make it onto the internet? Not necessarily. And I think that's, you know, it's really a problem for people to say, oh, but I can work in Excel and I can do this and I can do that. That's great, but those are on-site skills. Those are, it doesn't have anything to do with social media marketing or creating a website or helping your client with a product launch or setting up teleseminars. And you're right, the training and the ongoing education is absolutely critical. You have to invest in your business. You're going to invest in anything. If you're investing in your health, you're investing in a gym membership. If you're investing in your children's education, you're probably paying for private schools. You need to look at everything that you do as an investment in your business. And once you have your business properly set up, a lot of it's deductible anyway. So invest in your business, absolutely.
Yes. Oh, yes. And like you were saying, Denise, in regards to having the skills that people want, teleseminars, webinars, you know, shopping cart, WordPress, you know, various things, technical things such as that is highly needed in this industry.
Oh,
social media.
Yeah.
I don't think personally that you're serving your clients as best as you could if you're not proficient in social media.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to be leasing your own business model. You should have a presence on every social media, at least the big three, at least social media platform.
Yeah, the Holy Trinity, right?
The Holy Trinity, yes, the big three, at least.
That's right.
Not to mention the new up and coming ones, you know.
Pinterest.
Yes, Pinterest. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my new favorite, Denise.
I know. I love it. I'm halfway addicted to it.
Yes, I love it.
And here's the thing,
I know.
Social media can be a lot of fun. I think I shared this with you the last time we spoke. Both of my businesses, well, you know, I had Your Office on the Web, which is my web development company, and then I had Your Virtual Assistant, which, of course, is, you know, my virtual assistant company. And for a while, for a short period, they were separate companies, and then they ran off one night and got, you know, they eloped, they got married. So basically, it's all one company. We're a one-stop shop. I am so huge on social media. It is such an important and an integral part of how I communicate with the world that honestly, without it, I wouldn't have a business. I mean, it's really, I would have my web development business. That's been around. But without a strong, strong social media presence, I would not be where I am today. And I would not meet, you know, have the opportunity to meet people that I have had the opportunity to meet. Social media marketing is critical for you, for your clients. It is absolutely, if you learn nothing else from this call, learn that you need to become a social media marketing expert.
Oh, yes. I totally agree. Agree. I've received quite a few referrals, actually, as well from my social media endeavors.
Right.
I've got quite a few clients from that, and it's so important. So important.
It is. It is. It absolutely is. And you were talking earlier about your referral program, too, to go back just a bit. Both of my companies are 100% referral-based. I don't even go looking for clients anymore. I don't have to. My clients are just so good about sending, you know, new recommendations and new clients. And honestly, that's really what you want to strive for in your business, isn't it? That your clients are so happy with you that they will freely share your information with their peers.
That's right. That's right.
So setting up a referral, you know, I don't think you need to pay other people to get referrals. If you're doing that, you may not be where you need to be in your business evolution.
That's right. That's right. You know, because if you're good at what you do and the client that you have appreciates you, they'll spread, you know, your goodness to all of their business friends and associates, you know.
They will.
They'll definitely spread the word.
And they do. And you know, you're so great. And to go back to another thing that you said that I thought was so important is that we were talking about, you know, giving away your hours. We just don't do that. You just don't do that. But there is a proviso to that. If you've got a client, and I do, I've got some fabulous clients, you know, every once in a while you just want to give them something because they're just so darn good to work with and you just appreciate them so much. I have a client, he's one of my, and we talked about this, he's one of my angel clients. I mean, honestly, he's my angel client. And it occurred to me that he did not have a mobile website. And I went, oh. I said, listen, I want to build you a mobile website. He said, oh, cool. You know, I had to explain to him why he needed it, what it would do for him. And he said, oh, that's wonderful. How much will that cost? I said, it's my gift to you.
Wow.
And it was my gift. I was glad to build that for him. So he was so appreciative of that that now, you know, he's telling everybody, look what Denise did for me. And that was not my purpose for doing it. I wanted to give him something from my heart because he is an angel client.
Wow.
So there are times when giving away something free, and I mean a substantial something free, makes you feel good, but it also makes your client just so darn happy. So, you know, there are times when you give away free things, not in the beginning and not when you're trying to attract clients. That will not attract clients. That will repel clients. And I know that sounds wrong to those of you who are going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, I just need a client. Trust me, it's wrong. Don't do it.
Yes, so true.
I know.
So true.
So is there anything else that you wanted to share about some of the pitfalls that you hit? Because now I want to go on to your successes.
Okay. Now we can go right into some of my successes and how I got to where I am today.
I would love that.
Okay, well, after I merged from being a contractor on some of the popular freelance websites online, and actually started diving into virtual assistant as my business and actually started setting up my business model and getting the documents and forms that I needed to actually be a legitimate business. Then I started diving into trying to find clients so where I could build my portfolio and get experience under my belt. After doing that, I was able to find clients who ultimately started referring me to other clients. And my business just grew from there. And since then, I've been able to bring on a team of other contractors, virtual assistants, and website builders and specialists in the virtual world who are able to assist me with servicing my clients. And that's just been a blessing all the way around because now I can actually expand my business more so.
Right, your team building is such a critical, I mean, it's critical. We do so many things, we wear so many hats, that there really are tasks that we should not be doing. We just shouldn't. And it sounds a little bit snotty, I guess, but there are things that are just below our pay grade. I mean, if we are, you know, making $75 an hour and we're doing $10 an hour work, what's wrong with that picture? You bring on other people to help you do that. And you bring on experts. I mean, I can work in Photoshop. I hate it. I do. I just detest it. So I have people on my team who love to work in Photoshop. I'm like, woohoo! I send them what I need. They send it back to me. I am happy. So,
yes.
You know, you need a team. You need to build a really strong team to help you achieve your goals.
Oh, yes. And I found that out, too.
Yeah, I know. And we need to explain to people, and I'd love for you to explain this. When you say we're bringing on team members, again, it's not a job. Explain how you work with your contractors, if you don't mind. Because these are not full-time employees. Almost. We need to move that one off the table right now.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. By no means are they full-time employees. They are all their own business managers. Okay? Mm-hmm. They're their own business entity. How it works is that if and when I have a client that needs something done and I might not want to do it, I might feel that it's below my pay grade, or I don't have time to do it, or whatever the reason
is. I want to go work in the garden.
Or I have a field trip again.
Yeah.
I would outsource it to one of my team members. Let them take care of it, and in return, the client is happy, and they are happy. And we just work with each other like that. But no, it's not by no way a full-time position. It's not an employee-employer type of relationship. They're business owners. I provide them with a contract, and in return, they provide me with a contract to work my subcontractor, because they are independent contractors just like I am. They're just assisting me on my team. That's all.
Exactly. And that's a beautiful way to put it, because so many people will say, well, for instance, I have 32 people on my team. There are only two people that I work with, well, three, I take it back, that I work with daily. You know, I'm sending them stuff all day long. They're sending me stuff back. We're working on multiple projects. The other 29, whatever it is, whenever I need them, they're there. It might be weekly, it might be monthly, but we have such a good working relationship that when I have a project for one of them, I will pick up the phone or send an email and say, listen, I've got this project. This is what I anticipate it's going to be. Are you interested? Do you have the time? And almost always they say, sure, send me the work order, just, you know, the description, whatever it is that you need. So I count my team as 32 people, but very few of them work for me on a really regular basis. But they're always there when I need them. And that's what we mean by team building. You know, if you're working with somebody who has their own business, they're working on their own projects, but they're sure happy to help you with yours too. So that's, you know, that's what you need as a team, right?
Yes, that's right. You need some people that you can go to that's reliable. I would say,
exactly. And they do spectacular work, and you can count on them.
Yes. Right. That's right.
Well, what are some... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yes, you have to make sure that when you build your team that you find people that you can depend on that are highly skilled, you know, because they're working up under your umbrella, so they're representing your company. You want to make sure that...
Right.
You also have a good working relationship with them as well, like you were stating, that you have with you and your contractors.
Now, I know one of the questions you asked me the last time we spoke was, do my contractors ever interact with my clients? And the answer is no. I am the team leader. Everything goes through me.
Yes.
And there's a number of reasons for that. You did.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know,
I'm the same way.
You're the face of the business. It is your business. Everything falls on you. And you don't want to muddy the waters by having your client go, okay, who do I email? Who is this person? It's you. You're the face of the business. You are the business owner. You handle everything. And ultimately, you're responsible for everything. But you never let your contractors interact with your clients. There's too many dangers. Number one, you confuse a client. Number two, you may lose a client to an unscrupulous contractor. You just don't do it. It doesn't make sense.
That's right.
How did you make that transition?
Free.
Yeah. Well, did you have some experiences with you that made you go, oh, my God, she's right?
Well, I truthfully know, because I started it after you told me that, I took your advice and
saved you
around that. Because it just makes sense. You know, it made sense. So it was like a light bulb went off in my head. I'm like, wow, that's so right. Okay, I know what I'm going to do. So that's what I did.
And again, it's just one of those things you don't know. You don't know what you don't know.
That's
and,
right.
You know,
we want to,
and our impulse is always to just do everything we can for the client. Here's the proper impulse. Yeah, that's a correct one. The primary impulse is do whatever you can to protect your business, build your business, grow your business, and succeed at your business. And you don't do that by watering it down. And by sharing, you know, your resources like that, you're really doing your business some damage, or potentially.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You actually are.
Yeah, yeah. So what else should we tell people while I've got you on the phone? We've got about 9 or 10 more minutes, and I want to keep on picking your brain. So what are some of the things that you're seeing in our industry that just make you go, in a good way and in a bad way?
Okay, I guess I'll start with the bad way first, because I can tell you from experience. We all network and socialize on some of the same virtual assisting forums and websites. And we glean information from there and from each other. And I've got some erroneous information that I used, well, actually, I'm like this. In the past, I've received information from other VAs that I thought were reputable or were more skilled than I, and I took their information or their wisdom or insights and went on it, and it ended up, you know, coming back in my face because it wasn't correct or it wasn't the right way to go. And I'm saying that most of the VAs on these websites are doing the same thing. They're getting information from one another.
Yeah.
They're getting information from VAs that just are not at the top of their game like they should be. And what's happening is they're going around in the same circle for rat race.
Propagating the same stuff, yeah.
The same stuff, and that's a big no-no. That's the negative.
Do you have a for instance or two that you can think of?
Well, let me see here. For instance or two. This is one major thing that people are saying, and this is still a big division in the VA world as to whether or not to put your rates on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's probably 50-50. You know, half believe it is, half believe it's not. And so in the beginning, after looking at those websites, mostly everyone on there said, don't put your rates on your website because if you do, it'll drive clients away. So I would.
See, I disagree with that.
You know,
I'm one of the people who do put. Well, here's what it does, and this is just my opinion, and I'd love to hear what you think. My rates are high, but I do literally everything. We are a one-stop shop. I'm one of the highest-paid VAs around.
Mm-hmm.
It gets rid of the tire kickers. If you're looking for somebody who will work for you for five hours a month, which I will not do, I have a 20-hour-a-month minimum retainer. Yeah, I have instantly qualified who's going to talk with me. If they know if they know what my rates are and what we can do, what our solutions are, they will call me. But I don't have to deal with the tire kickers.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I am not ashamed of my rates. I am very proud of my businesses, and I am very proud of what we can do for our clients. And I'm going to just tell you straight up, this is what it costs to work with us, but here's what you get out of it. So yeah, I'm of the school that says, put your rates. But it's an individual thing. So what do you think?
Well, personally, I think either way. You know, I've read some reports that state that, you know, after a VA has put their rates on their site for 6 months and then take it off the last 6 months, that they didn't see an increase in their claims. So I think you can go either way, but that's a prime example of how we're all going around the rat race to where whatever you say is what I'll do, and then whatever she says what I'll do. And it's just
a
big, rat race, and some of us were making the same mistakes, I think, and we're just on the same cycle, you know?
That's
kind of disappointing, you know?
Yeah, that worries me about those forums because there is so much copy and paste stuff going on there.
Oh, yeah. And don't get me wrong, I've learned a lot of information from the forums. I thank the Lord for them because they actually helped me in the beginning.
But you can filter through it, you know, filter through it and see what feels best for your business. Don't just take it all as gold.
That's right. That's the key, what you just said, Denise. I think you have to take what's good for you and your business because no one business is the same. Even though you're a VA, Denise, and I'm a VA, we have different businesses. And some of the people listening will have maybe a different business or niche area or market or target client. And you have to do what works best for you and your business and find out what works for you and your business.
Right. And your audience is very different from my audience. Your clients are very different from my client. People say, oh, well, I want to do what so-and-so is doing. Well, educationally, you should. But we all have our own voice and we all have our own client base. So looking at somebody else and feeling that little bit of, oh, I want that, build your own because you're going to find that your own is just fabulous.
That's right. And you'll be more passionate about
you
know, because I might be passionate about social media or building WordPress websites, but you might be passionate about, you know, article marketing or whatever. So I think that you should follow behind what you're passionate about, get equipped, take classes, take training, you know, find out all you can about what you love to do and go for it 100 miles an hour ahead, you know.
I agree.
Just build it from there.
Absolutely. I mean, that's just spot on. And, you know, the passion for your business is so important because if you wake up in the morning and you hit that floor running, you barely skim by the coffee pot and you're at your computer 2 seconds later, you love what you're doing.
Yes, and that's what I do. I'm sad to say, Denise, my husband sometimes complains. And, you know, he does. And, you know, I'm trying my best, but I love what I do. I love what I do, and it's so hard. You sometimes have to pry me away from my computer, you know, on my pinky toe.
You are well on your way to becoming a straight-running workaholic. I got news for you.
I know. Pray for me, Denise. I don't want to be a workaholic.
Well, I would, but I can't because I is one. My business coach said, Denise, you know that you are a high-functioning workaholic. And I said, yeah. She said, don't sound so proud of that. All that means is you're just not a fun girl. And I went, oh. But she's right. I am married to my computer. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
But like you, I love, love, love what I do. Love it. I mean, this is a perfect industry for me. And I'm just so passionate about it. And you are too. I mean, that's what it takes to succeed. You have to love what you're doing, and you have to love the journey and love the knowledge and the, you know, the seeking of, you know, new ways to perform the most mundane tasks. I mean, it's just, you love it. So important.
You have to love it.
Yeah.
I think in order to be able to be successful, you have to love it. If you don't love what you're doing, you're not going to be successful. It's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, working as a garbage collector forever and ever. Do you really love it? Great. If you don't, it's just a paycheck.
And
we're entrepreneurs. We don't want a paycheck. We want to be so enthused and so excited and just so at the top of our game every day that, again, it just doesn't occur to us that we could fail. It just doesn't occur.
Yeah.
So this is a great industry, and I suggest that anybody who really wants to become a VA, do what we've been talking about. Look, you know, become an intern on somebody else's team. Get your education. Set up your business correctly from the beginning. I mean, there's just so many things that you can do to minimize the damage down the road, especially if you experience, like I did, a huge growth spurt, and all of a sudden I was going, oh, boy, now what do I do? And I had to actually stop and go back and set processes and procedures in place because I just went, oh, I did not see this coming, which is a good thing to have happen in a way. In another way, you're like, oh, man, I got more work to do. So, It's a lot of fun. Nikia, is there anything that you would like to I forgot to tell you, I need to know where people can find you on the web so they can visit your website, visit you on Facebook.
Yes, Denise, everyone can visit me on the web at www.optimal.com.
Great.
That's my
website. How about Facebook?
And my Facebook is facebook.com/optimaladminvs. B as in Victor, S as in Sam.
Great. Well, listen, thank you so much for being with me here today. You came on as a last-minute guest, and I appreciate it so much. And as usual, I have had a ball talking with you. I mean, we talk the same language, and I have a great time. You've given some really valuable information to our listeners, and I know they appreciate it as much as I do. So thank you so much. And I would like to actually get you to come back, you know, maybe, you know, towards the end of the year so we can kind of continue the conversation.
Okay, Denise, thank you. I would love to come back again.
Great. Well, I'll give you a call and we'll set something up. Well, listen, everybody, thank you so much for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Nikia Smith wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I will see you next week. Thank you.